Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to KP Energy Limited Q1 FY 2026 earnings conference call hosted by Share India. As a reminder, all participants' line will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Harsh Patel from Share India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and good evening, everyone. On behalf of Share India Securities, I welcome you all to Q1 FY 2026 earnings conference call of KP Energy. We are pleased to have with us the management team represented by Mr. Afan Farooq Patel, Full-Time Director, Dr. Alok Das, Group CEO, Ms. Shabana Bajaj, Chief Financial Officer of KP Energy, Mr. Salim Yahoo, Group CFO. We will have opening remarks from the management, followed by the question-and-answer session. Thank you, and over to you, Siddharth.
Thank you, Harsh. Good evening, everyone, and I welcome all investors, shareholders, the general public, and any representative of KP Group to the first investor call of this financial year. We will be tackling the quarter one results that has. Sorry, Harsh, I think there's some noise at your end. Yeah, sorry about that. So we would be tackling the. Harsh or Pari, there's. Yeah, thank you. We would be tackling the quarter one results for the fiscal year. And for anybody who's joining you, as well as for the existing population, I will just give a very small description of KP Energy. KP Energy stands among one of the very few companies which currently offers integrated end-to-end EPC solutions in the wind segment in India. On the back of India achieving its renewable targets early, which was 50% generation through non-fossil fuels, KP Energy has been a strong prominent player in driving this renewable expansion within India. We have a very unique advantage of leveraging synergies across group companies within KP Group to deliver seamless project lifecycle management. Within wind, we do entire lifecycle of project management gamut from site identification, from logistics, construction, grid integration, and the final commission. The vertical integration ensures we have quality, cost efficiency, and accelerated timelines. We are very happy to provide with you an amazing set of results, and now I'll be handing over the call to Mr. Afan Farooq Patel, the Whole-Time Director of KP Energy. Sir, over to you.
Thank you, Siddharth. Good evening, everyone. It is my privilege to welcome you all, our esteemed investor, analyst, stakeholder, and partners, to the quarterly earnings call of KP Energy Limited. I am proud to report that we have had a strong start to the fiscal year, marked by robust financial performance, strategic progress, and continued operational excellence. Under the visionary leadership of our CMD, Dr. Farooq Patel, sir, we have not only set ambitious goals but have also consistently achieved them. His unwavering belief in forward-thinking solutions, sustainability, and inclusive growth has laid the foundation upon which our success has been built. As India accelerates its renewable energy transition, KP Energy stands well-positioned to lead with its integrated capabilities. A proven track record of execution and visionary leadership, we remain committed to creating long-term value and driving sustainable growth for all stakeholders. Moving forward, regarding the financial performance and industry overview, our CFO, Group CFO, and Group CEO will be addressing those aspects shortly. Thank you.
Thank you, Afan sir. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the earnings call of KP Energy Limited towards the Q1 of financial year 2026. I'm Shabana Bajaj, CFO at KP Energy, joined by the leadership team at KP Group. Thank you once again for joining us today, and we look forward to sharing the insights on financial performance, key milestones, and the future outlook for the upcoming quarters. KP Energy is a prominent balance-of-plant solution provider in the renewable energy industry, engaged from concept to commissioning of wind energy and wind solar hybrid power projects in India. Leveraging its capabilities in site planning, infrastructure execution, and grid integration, the company significantly contributes to nation's clean energy momentum. India today stands at a crucial juncture in its energy journey. With over 190 gigawatt of renewable energy capacity already installed, we have made commendable progress, especially in solar and wind. Yet, the road ahead remains ambitious. Our 2030 target of 500 gigawatt in India from non-fossil fuel sources, we have achieved a nearly 38%, with solar at 81 gigawatt, while wind at 47 gigawatt, both representing just about one-third of their respective targets. In the last fiscal alone, India added over 15 gigawatt of renewable energy capacity, reflecting the nation's accelerating momentum. With policy support, green corridors, and a growing appetite for hybrid and open access solutions, we are not just catching up, we are evolving. India's clean energy ambition is bold, and every milestone we cross isn't just a number, it's a step towards energy independence and sustainability, with KP Energy being a catalyst in this journey, transforming potential into power and projects into progress. We are pleased to share that the company has maintained a strong financial performance for Q1 FY25-26. Year-on-year growth reflects consistent execution, operational improvement, and ongoing activity in the renewable energy sector. These results point to the steady progress of our strategic direction and the inherent strength of our business model. Let me now take you through the financial highlights of the recently released Q1 FY25-26 results as uploaded. This quarter, KP Energy has witnessed numerous peak performances across key metrics over all the Q1 results until now. The company has reported total revenue on a consolidated basis for the first quarter of FY26 at Rs. 220.6 crores, as against that at Rs. 135.2 crores during the first quarter of FY25, thereby reporting an increase of 63%. This being the highest ever quarterly revenue on a total consolidated basis across all Q1s of KP Energy. The consolidated EBITDA for the first quarter of FY26 stood at Rs. 49.6 crores, representing a 63% year-over-year increase in comparison to the first quarter of FY25, which stood at Rs. 30.4 crores. This also being the highest ever Q1 number, reflecting the persistent growth on operational efficiencies. The profit before tax for the first quarter of FY26 stood at Rs. 34.8 crores, as compared to Rs. 23.1 crore in the first quarter of the previous year, reflecting an increase of 50%. The profit after tax for the first quarter of FY26 was reported at Rs. 25.4 crores compared to Rs. 18.2 crore in the first quarter of the previous year, reflecting a growth narrative of 40% due to higher capacity utilization and steady revenue growth. Reflecting the company's ongoing focus on creating values for the shareholders, the basic EPS during Q1 FY26 stood at ₹3.81 as compared to ₹2.73 in the Q1 of the previous year, reflecting a 39% growth. Our current order book stands at about 2.22 gigawatt, inching us closer to the ambitious target of 10 gigawatt on the group level. This has given us a competitive edge in renewables and aligned us with the long-term industry growth trajectory. Our consolidated IPP portfolio now stands at about 48.5 megawatt, including a combination of both wind and solar projects. The quarterly unit generation during the financial year 26 Q1 rose to 2.65 crores from 0.98 crores during the first quarter of FY25. The O&M segment remains a cornerstone of our value proposition, enabling sustained performance and reliability across our renewable energy platforms. With a portfolio now exceeding 595 megawatts, we offer end-to-end support, including preventive care, data-driven diagnostics, and efficiency enhancements focused on the balance of plant components. On behalf of the entire KP Energy and KP Group team, I extend my sincere gratitude to our investors, partners, and stakeholders for their continued trust and unwavering support in our journey. I would now open the forum for question and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Please note, participants are requested to limit two questions per participant and come back in the queue for a follow-up. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sudhir Beda from Beda Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and congrats to all KP Group for good results, good Q1. So congratulations.
Thank you, Sudhir, sir. Thank you, sir.
Madam, my question is, the way first quarter has panned out, I think it is really be possible to, meet the guidance which you have been giving last year also for the year 2025-2026 of, like, good jump in the profitability and turnover. So what's your take in the current year, FY 2026, guidance as far as revenue and EBITDA is concerned?
So, sir, before I jump to the guidance, I would like to here emphasize that with the turnover 221 crores in the Q1 this year, we are in comparison to 135 crores in the earlier year at 63% of the growth. And with 2.2 gigawatts of orders already on hand, which constitutes roughly about 3,000+ crores of order book in terms of value, I am definitely very confident that we will be crossing all the committed thresholds.
Great. So, madam, any reason of the kind of turnover which you have clocked, so early monsoon or early onset of monsoon or some climatic conditions, is that a reason for having this turnover of 220 crore?
Okay. I would like to give you a brief insight that each contract and each task that has been awarded to us have a different kind of composition. So yes, there are the season factor definitely plays a role in execution, and this time with almost a month earlier, the monsoon has arrived a month earlier. So yes, this has been one of the factors, but more so, I think there are activities which are well planned and they are being taken care of. And if you compare all the Q1s over a period of so many years, you will be observing a similar trend in terms of KP Energy.
Great. And last question, IPP 48 megawatt is all energized? Entire 48 megawatt?
Yes, sir. It is commissioned. That is up and running.
Okay. Great, great. All the best, and thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shubhankar Gupta from Equitree Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Shubhankar, you are.
Yeah, got it. So I just want, I have two questions. First question is, in the 2.2 gigawatts of order book, which is roughly 3,000 crores of orders and revenue, is this on the group level or is this only for KPEL?
This is only for KP Energy.
Got it. And what is the timeline for execution with regards to KPEL on this order book?
Okay, so there are different orders having different timelines, and accordingly, there are certain orders which get completed in September 2025. There are orders which prolong up to even December, and there are some which have the timeline beyond the current financial year as well. As you can,
okay.
You know, as you're aware, typically how a wind project works is that, you know, we identify the resource, we identify the land, there is a site preparation going on, then the infrastructure, I mean, the line and the grid infrastructure is being set up, that is being identified, and subsequently the actual execution on the site begins. So if you span the project, roughly the cycle, average cycle of a project will be somewhere between 12, 18, or 24 months, depending upon the size of the project.
Got it, ma'am. Actually, I'm a bit confused. Is this 2.2 gigawatt order book only on the IPP bit, or is it a blend of both IPP, must be on a blend of IPP and O&M? But what is the cut there between IPP and O&M?
So this entire 2.2 gigawatt in KP Energy is our EPC contract.
Got it. Okay.
So there's no IPP element of KP Energy in this.
Okay. Got it. So, ma'am, the second question was on the revenue bit itself. So you've mentioned in the presentation that revenue was 220 crores for this quarter. There was no split mentioned between IPP and O&M in that also. So I want to understand that one. And within this, if there's a split, then what were the margins between the IPP projects and the O&M or the EPC projects?
Okay. So typically, as always, our EPC segment has always been heavier, and we have been, I mean, the split on the revenue has been ranging from 95%-98%. With this quarter, we are standing at 95% on the EPC segment.
Okay.
The power sale has been from 3%-5%. We are standing at 5% in this quarter, and O&M is currently at 1%. Now, what is happening is that.
What was the second segment? I didn't understand. You said 95% was EPC. Second was?
Second was power sale. That is the income from IPP segment, which is at 5%.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Yeah. And you were saying what is happening now is?
Yeah. In O&M, it's not happening now. It has been a practice that typically when we undertake an EPC, we also give a free O&M period. And in this free O&M period, which lasts between 1 to 2 years, and that is the reason where we are expecting the turnover to grow from this 1% to a higher percentage in the coming years.
Okay. Okay. Got it. No, that's fair. Understood.
You also had asked upon the gross margins on the projects. I mean, on the segment.
Correct. The split between, yeah. Yeah. Correct.
Yeah. So typically, an EPC contract would have gross margins of about 15%-18%. And in case of power sale, the margins would be around 65%-75%.
Okay. Got it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Khurana from A&K Capital. Please go ahead.
Firstly, my compliments to the management on us, but it's, I think, a fantastic result year on year. Revenue growth, margin expansion, very heartening to see. So, ma'am.
Thank you, Ashish. Yeah.
Sure. Ma'am, so my question was on the 30-megawatt IPP that we did for GUVNL. So in the past calls, some of the participants have pointed out about return on capital ratios and how, I mean, it is pretty similar to the cost of capital, which also includes debt. So I don't want to get into all that discussion again, but what I wanted to understand was that apart from two benefits that you had cited on those calls, which was a PSS basis measurement and a steady cash flow for 25 years, were there any other benefits on, say, taxation or depreciation side, like an accelerated depreciation, which can help us improve cash flows and pay our debt faster? I mean, management did that knowing everything in advance in terms of return on capital ratios. So what were the prime reasons for this?
So far as the 30-megawatt projects are concerned, the prime reason, the first and the foremost reason, of course, is to have our own asset, number one. Number two is higher EBITDA margins, as I already explained. Number three is that while we are already making a good amount of margin on the CPP projects, we can definitely use the depreciation benefit from income tax perspective and save some of the taxes on the total profits that we earn, thereby having a positive cash flow. And this particular project would give us a chance, a fair chance, to explore our own potential in terms of power sale.
Okay. Okay. Understood. And for the next 50 megawatts that we plan to do this financial year or next financial year, so are we again looking for long-term government contracts, or would we be targeting mid-term agreements with private players? Just to get a sense on per unit realization, rough sense, if you have.
So there are, yeah, Ashish, both the options are open to us. like when you talk about government contracts, while the PPA amount, I mean the rate of PPA is slightly lower in terms of government contracts in comparison to the private players, but then the longevity and the quick payment cycle and of course the reliance on the government agencies is much higher compared to, yes, we do get a little bit extra when we do a third party agreement. So it's a kind of a balanced situation, and we will definitely plan looking into consideration the options available at that point of time.
Okay, okay. And ma'am, coming to the ETC side, we have discussed in the last call how a significant portion of the bid pipeline is linked to CTU connectivity. So just for my understanding from a layman's perspective, so do the CTU approvals we already have or probably will get in the future enable us to get EPC projects from other states so that, you know, we can use our land banks in Gujarat to set up these projects and then use CTU for evacuation? Is this the benefit?
Okay, so first of all, I would like to slightly clarify that there is a small differentiation when it comes to wind projects. So there are the land parcels are to be sought only at the places where the wind resources are available, number one. So, yes, CTU connectivity and the availability of wind resource both play a very important role into this segment. I will request Dr. Das to please highlight a bit on the CTU connectivity side.
I will just tell basically that whatever CTU connectivity is available pan India basis based on CTU connectivity through the PGCIL, and based on the availability resource and all, so you can create a project estate and you can sell this power to anywhere in the country as per the norms available. So generally today, whatever the CTU project is coming because of the scarcity of resources, and also today there is a term called the round the clock operations and also wind and solar base that compatibility for the round the clock operation. So typically all these IPP investors, they are today looking for wind dominant states like Karnataka, Gujarat, Tamil Nadu or AP, and solar dominated places like in Rajasthan or Gujarat or Madhya Pradesh, and they take this power to out of the states like Odisha and other places where the lot of consumption centers for the epicenter of the consumption. So that is why this type of project is going on through the resource availability in the country.
Got it, so perfectly clear. Lastly, ma'am, I had a few bookkeeping questions, but I'll probably send them offline through an email so as to not waste everyone's time. Is that okay?
That's fine, Ashish. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, ma'am. Thank you, Dr. Das. All the best.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rushil Silaka from Think Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, Rushil. We can hear you.
Congratulations for the great set of number, ma'am.
Thank you.
Ma'am, my question is that in this quarter we have already energized 48.5 megawatt. So can you just tell us that what is the peak unit we can generate with a PLF of 35 to 40%, which we get it, and what is the average realization rate per unit?
Okay, 48.5 has not been energized in this particular quarter. So 48.5 constitutes of 37 megawatt of wind projects and 11.5 of solar. So the entire 48.5 is a combination of both wind and solar, number one. Number two, the energization of the entire 48.5 was done in a phased manner. We started initially with 8.4, and then later on we went ahead with a 10 megawatt of solar, subsequently 1.5 megawatt of solar, and then 28.7 megawatt of wind. So the plants are having different compositions. Solar PLF, we can say it ranges between 20 to 23%, depending upon whether it is on fixed tilt or it is on tracker. And the wind is also ranging between 35 to 37, depending upon which particular location it has been situated on. So this is the PLF that we get.
Okay. And ma'am, till now, how much is being energized? after this 48.5 megawatt, let's say after this 11.5, how much has been energized solar and how much of this 37 megawatt of wind has been energized today? It's operational.
Entire 48.5 is operational. The last energization happened in Q4 of the previous financial year, where the 28.7 got energized in the last quarter of the previous financial year.
So, ma'am, what will be the average realization per unit if we have to see that?
So, average realization would be around 7 to 8 rupees per unit in terms of solar on a gross basis. And on, on wind, it would be roughly around 6.5 to 7 on a gross basis.
Okay. And in net basis, if we can just give a ballpark number?
So about 5 to 5.5 on a net basis in terms of solar and about 4.5 to 5 on the wind basis, excluding the GONL contract.
Okay. And that GONL contract was, I guess, it was around 3 rupees, right? 2 rupees 43 paisa.
But the effective rate, I would just like to elaborate a bit here. So when you talk about 2 rupees 43 paisa per unit, the effective rate is slightly better. The reason being that there are several transmission charges and costs which are not considered in this particular, that is being borne by GONL on the other side. So which is typically being borne by us on the third party PPA side. So the effective rate would be higher than 2.43.
Okay, got it, ma'am. And ma'am, I just went to the presentation about the offshore wind, which is looking a great opportunity. So just wanted to understand, you know, if we get into those projects, so will the margin will be higher? And is there like, you know, only few company possess such technical capabilities to do such projects?
You see, for these offshore initiatives, it is very, very nascent stage in India today. So whatever the first that offshore policy declared 2015, and now we are talking about the implementations of 1 gigawatt that is segmentized into two states like Gujarat and Tamil Nadu, and they have come out with a study or the resource study. Recently, they have declared for 500 megawatt Gujarat and 500 megawatt Tamil Nadu. So now there are some documents and policy and pre-bid discussions are going on. So they will declare, to, in my opinion, so to see that they have these offshore initiatives will come after 5 years from today. And we are in the planning stage how to accommodate ourselves for this offshore initiative, like be it in the BOP or in a supply chain or some sort of other activities. We are under planning like all other people are doing. So obviously there should be some bidding process where we'll be participating. And now for the commercial, the tariff today, you know, whatever the reverse auction is going on today onshore, they are stabilized at 3.5 rupees. But based on this offshore, the viability with the VGF, the minimum tariff is required over 10 or 15 rupees an unit. Obviously, how this government of India and state regulations are coming, that is under your discussion. So if the tariff is changing and that ventures are viable, obviously the KP will be entered to that field. So today all are on the discussion stage.
Okay, sir. And sir, are we looking any for expansion, for further expansion into IPP project under wind?
Basically IPP is the segment where there is a lot of demands. Now if you see that today, that whatever the country's demand, so that is a segment that every state is coming under STU, and if it is coming under all over India requirement through IPP. So as a company, you know that we have already ventured into 3-4 states MOU and we are in the resource creation mode. So obviously we are interested to participate in the IPP segment in future.
I would also like to elaborate slightly over here that IPP, as you know, it's a capital intensive investment. So we will definitely try to balance both the capex and also try to take the advantage of depreciation in this.
And ma'am, you just in the previous participant, you mentioned it about, it was an EBITDA margin or a gross margin in EPC 15 to 18% and IPP 65 to 75%. It was an EBITDA margin or a gross margin?
It's a gross margin.
Gross margin. Okay. And ma'am, what will be the EBITDA margin then?
It will be roughly 1 or 2% plus minus, but more or less the same, because we hardly have anything which falls between the EBITDA and gross in terms of EPC contracts.
Okay. And IPP, ma'am, it will be almost, it will be same in IPP also, 1 or 2% here and there?
IPP, yeah, because IPP, we hardly, if you look at the cost of the IPP, you know, there are only the O&M and the admin costs are the costs, which are the cost of the IPP and some transmission charges. Beyond that, we do not have any costs in the IPP segment.
Okay. Got it, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Thank you. Participants are requested to limit to two questions per participant and come back in the queue for a follow-up. The next question is from the line of Akhilesh Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to know about the big CPP project we had got long back, NTPC Renewable and INZL was the two entities which gave us that 462 or something, 464 megawatts. Are we progressing very well or we are still, like say, behind the schedule?
Okay. Akhilesh, thank you for your question. The NTPC project has been going on as per the time schedule and we have been doing it very well. And also that there has been a value addition in terms of the contract value. It has also been upped because of the change in the kind of turbine that they have opted. And yes, it is on track.
How much percentage-wise, if you can give any idea?
So both, if you see, it was not just NTPC, it was Indian Oil as well together in the same phase. So we had INGEL and NTPC put together and the value addition to it is approximately 15 crores.
Okay, got it. So we are very near to completion in this financial year?
Yes, it is expected to be completed in this financial year.
Okay, I have one more question regarding like our margins. I have been following and being a shareholder for a long time. Our margins are always, like say, we are majorly in wind sector and compared to solar, we are having very less competitions and you say entry barriers are very high and we are in a unique position. So logically, we should be commanding little better margin than solar players. But still, we are lagging that and we are far behind in the, like say, even if you compare our group company KPI, they are located, this scale also, they are having 32%, like say, margin. But we are still at 18-20%. What differentiates here?
Okay, so firstly, I would like to give a highlight about the product mix of the solar-based KPI Green and also the wind-based KPI Energy. So while they have about 12-13% of IPP and balance on CPP, we have only 5% of IPP revenue and the entire 95% is EPC-based, number one. That is the first reason why there is a change in the overall profitability. Number two is that while the solar execution is a time-bound activity and a faster activity, whereas if you look at the number of activities which are a part of a wind execution in terms of the permissions, the licensings, and also the overall from concept to commissioning what we talk about, the number of activities are much higher. And that is the reason why the site mobilization normally takes a longer period compared to solar. So in such a scenario, this is the margin which has been prevalent at par across the industry. And I'm rather sure that we are doing it much better than the other competitors who are in this industry.
Okay. But as you communicated earlier, we are very, means not many players there in EPC, right? To compete.
Yes, but that is the nature of the industry is such, Akhilesh. The nature of the industry is such that the overall scenario, so as I said that solar can be executed at any location pan-India, more or less the radiation levels are same, but that does not happen in case of wind. Wind has to be executed only at locations where the wind resources are available. And that is the reason why there is too much of concentration by many people in that particular location. So even if the players are few, and if you talk about, say, commissioning of 10 turbines and, say, 30 megawatt of plant, so you will have those 10 turbines more or less in and around a few epicenters of the resource. And in such a situation, it is driven by the market price at that point of time, and that is the reason the nature of the industry puts us in such a frame of margin.
So going by that trend, what percentage we have IPP is still 5%. So our margin profile will still remain in this range itself, right? We are not going to catch up around 30%.
So we are, we are trying to enhance our IPP portfolio, but as I said, it's a capital intensive project and we need to balance our balance sheet as well as our CAPEX requirements, and accordingly we need to plan the IPP. So over the period of time, we do foresee that we will enhance the percentage of the IPP segment, and we also foresee a surge in the O&M activity as well. So we do envisage there will be an upward movement in terms of overall margin coming period of time.
Okay, got it. One last thing. Yesterday's call, Farooq Patel sir was there and he was talking about that KP Energy also, we are expecting huge orders. Are they coming in this quarter itself? Any hint on that?
I understand Dr. Patel also specified that in September we will be expecting the orders to come. He was already, it was already mentioned in his interview.
That is what our CMD has told. We are in the line of that directions only, and that whatever IPP projects we are targeted, what he told, Dr. Patel told, and we are in that same path, and we are expecting the same way.
Okay, that is very good news. And one last thing on the PPC front, yesterday I talked on the KPI as well. You have given the our 2030 ambitious target of 10 gigawatts. Why don't you can also give the target for our KP Energy as well? Because you have in the group level maybe dozens of companies listed, unlisted. So it doesn't make any sense for a shareholder like to what it means to KP Energy.
You see, I will just tell the answer for that. At the group level, as on today, we have a capacity of 5.9 gigawatt. So what our Dr. Farooq Patel has suggested, 10 gigawatt as a our visions for as a group level. So that is what KPI and KP Energy all together, we made a group target of 10 gigawatt.
So KP Energy, we don't have any target separately?
No, we don't, you know, segmentize as a group level, because some of, you know, something like hybridization we are doing on the KPI, and if it is a purely in wind and other things, so this will come on the KPE. So obviously group level, we should put our stride to that directions only. So what is your group level directions?
Akhilesh, also like when we are looking at the target set by India at 500 gigawatts, since it comprises of several segments in the renewable sector, here also we do not want to stick to one particular industry or one particular segment of solar or wind separately, and that is the reason why the entire target has been taken on a group basis.
Okay. Got it, but it is a company-wise presentation, right? So not a group-wise presentation. So shareholder, if I am
We mentioned, Akhilesh, you mentioned it's on group basis. You mentioned in the presentation itself.
Okay, but KP Energy is not mentioned, like for what we have touched. Anyway, that's not a big deal. Thanks a lot for doing good work. That's it from my view.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Jindal from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, Deepak, you are audible.
Yeah, first of all, congratulations, team, for a good set of numbers. Many congratulations. Ma'am, my question is around the order wins only, the new incoming orders. When we say that, like, you know, we can expect some big orders at KP Energy by end of, let's say, this quarter, maybe September end, any particular color on these orders wins? I mean, you know, what defines a big order for KP Energy? Will it be more than, let's say, 300, 400 megawatt kind of an order? And any maybe color on the nature of these orders?
You see, there are some multiple discussions are going on, because you know that we are the EPC contractor, we have got land and key resources and all. There are multiple discussions are going on, and mostly it is coming on the hybridization or you know, so wind and all. So whatever we are talking, multiple some projects is under the in active discussion. So obviously, what is the target line we have fit, and we are optimistic that we can meet to the target, and something will come, and we'll let you know. There's an appropriate time about the closure of the contract.
Sure. But we are kind of confident that, you know, these orders will be coming by September end. I mean, that's a timeline that Dr. Faruk Patel had mentioned in the interview as well, right?
Yeah. We are just working in that direction only.
Okay. Another question was on the pipeline as well, a bit about the color on the demand and the supply, especially on the wind side. Do we still see that, you know, the demand is extremely high and the supply is limited, so everyone will get a fair share of the pie?
Thing is like this, demand is really tremendously high. You know why it is high? Because today, whatever we have completed at the country level, it is 230 gigawatt, another 270 gigawatt that emulate to 500 gigawatt. So per year, there's a requirement demand cycle is over 40 gigawatt. So on this 40 gigawatt, the main whatever the demand is coming for the creation of land and PE, which is the crux of the story for the all kind of projects. And where is the KP? We are in the spree of creation, the resources and all to meet that demand. So we are very, very correct positions of ourselves that we are creating a continuous research creations and other things, and we are optimistic we can meet that. And demand, there is no, lesser demand than whatever is going on in the future.
Got it. That's comforting, sir. One last bookkeeping question from my side, maybe to Ms. Shabana Bajri. Ma'am, actually in the last quarter of the financial year, the last financial year, same quarter, we had some other income around 8 CR, right? Just wanted to understand the nature of this other income, because this particular quarter we had only reported 1 CR, so this is a bit lumpy. Just wanted to understand how would the other income be generated in this financial year in comparison to the last financial year.
Yeah, so Deepak, last financial year we had some small insurance claim and that had materialized at that point of time, and that is the reason why the other income was slightly higher as compared to the normal trend that we observed.
Okay, so any rough idea, ma'am? I mean, you know, maybe what can be a sustainable other income, because it's kind of, you know, fluctuating a lot. That's why I'm asking. Will we expect a decent other income, maybe in a ballpark range, if you may give for this financial year?
Yeah, on a quarter to quarter basis, you can expect about 1.10 crores roughly on quarterly basis.
Sorry, I didn't get
the normalized. 1 crore to 1.1 crore.
Okay, 1 to 1.4, so maybe around 4 to 5 CR on a financial year.
Yeah.
Got it. Wish you all the very best, ma'am.
Thank you, Deepak.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sunil Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, are you audible?
Yes, Sunil, you are audible.
Thank you. Congratulations on a great set on this additional quarter. Ma'am, my question is to you, going back to your first phone call in September 2024, at that time the order book was 2 gigawatts, the order book value was 3,350 crores, right? And ever since, yes. And then at that point in time, we said that we should be able to execute this order book in the 15 to 18 months. So give or take, excluding the September 2024, we have already done 9 months. They have done close to about 800 or 825 odd crores. If I include those 18 months from September 2024, basically it's May 2026. So are we saying that in the next 9 months, we should be able to do a delta of 2,500 crores of order? We will book those orders of 2,500 crores in the next 9 months? Because that is what we have said in September 2024 when we had this first phone call. That's my first question. Second question is on the target IPP portfolio. When you said, okay, we are looking at 100 megawatts, 50 megawatts, which we've already energized, 48.5, 49.5, we've already energized. The remaining 50, we will look into FY26, and whether this 50 would be either wind or solar or a combination would be decided. And is there a plan in terms of the remaining 50 megawatt to be done by this FY26 or where we are? And the last one is on the KPI green order, which we had as a part of a 2 gigawatt portfolio in September 2024. How much has been executed and where do we stand with respect to completing that order?
Okay. Thank you, Sunil, for all the questions that you've asked. So first, I'll address your first question where you wanted to have a visibility of the execution. So yes, as I told before as well, that the entire tenure of a particular contract ranges between 12, 18 to 24 months, depending upon what is the scope and what all is covered. And while we look forward to execute at a faster pace, and that is the reason why we have, when we committed in September 24 regarding the completion by the end of  1.5 to 2 years, what is more important is that that is what we are looking at for our internal targets. However, when you look from the contractual perspective and when you look from our client perspective, our overall timelines are larger. I mean, when you look at contracts, they have a timeline up to October 26, whereas we are envisaging and we are looking forward to complete it by March or even May 26, for that matter. So we do not want to set our goals low. We want to set our goals high, and we want to work hard to achieve them. So that is the reason why you might be observing some kind of a variance in terms of what our aspirations are and how the contractual requirements are, number one. Number two, coming to your question on the IPP segment, this quarter, we may look for 20 megawatts to be added in the coming months, not maybe this quarter, but in the coming months, we are looking for that out of the 50 megawatts, which we have a target. And in such a scenario, yes, there is a possibility that we may have a larger contribution from the IPP side. The third question, if I remember, was from the KPI perspective, where you were looking at how much have we completed in that. So here I would like to tell you that 70 out of the first phase, one second, just give me a moment, I'll tell you the number. So about 92 megawatts on DC capacity have already been installed by us for the KPI order. So that comprises of wind and solar components, 75.2 of DC capacity of solar component and 16.95 of wind component put together.
So out of 1 gigawatt, we have so far done about 100 megawatts. Is it 180?
So when you talk at 1 gigawatt, yes, there are other orders which are still under execution, but out of that, this much has already been installed by us.
Okay. And then one last question. When you talk about the order book, it is the unexecuted order book, right?
Yes, yes. So 2.2, what you're seeing in terms of gigawatt is the unexecuted order book.
Right. And so between last September and this June, right, this quarter. So last September it was 2 gigawatts unexecuted order book. This June or July or August, right, it is 2.2 gigawatts. So it is not the net addition. I understand that some of the orders would have been complete. So if you can give us a picture in terms of what, how much of order has been executed in the last one or two quarters, maybe because I'm just comparing from September 2024, because that's when we had the first phone call to see how the journey has been.
Yeah, so here I would like to specify that there are two aspects. I spoke this, I think, in earlier conversations as well. When you talk about the execution in terms of capacity, so the energization or the installation constitutes only when the entire, energization as per the terms and conditions of the statutory authority gets completed. Whereas you talk about the value of the order, that gets completed as milestones are achieved, stage by stage. So here it would not be appropriate to match the order book in terms of value together with the order book in terms of gigawatt. So of late we have installed, as I told you, about 92 megawatts for KPI. We have completed 23.1 megawatts for Aditya Birla. That is since last two quarters we have completed these, and also a small portion for a KPI, another client as well. So put together, yes, we have achieved about, I'm not sure about the number, but it is there in the presentation if you can have a look at that. And it will be, you'll be able to find out how much megawatt has already been commissioned in terms of these capacities.
And for this 20 megawatts of IPP, right, are you planning to raise debt or equity or dilute equity? Is there, what is in plan, ma'am, or it is like internal approvals?
We are trying from internal approvals. We are planning from internal approvals.
Thank you so much, ma'am. All the very best. Looking forward to a lot more success with KP Energy for the entire KP group. For the
thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sunil. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gopinath Jina from CDK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, ma'am. I'm audible?
Yes, Gopinath, you are audible.
Yeah. Congratulations for great set of members. I have one question. So you said there is an unexecuted order of 2.2 gigawatts, right? In that, what is the order from API and what is the order from non-API?
Yeah, so about... just a minute, if you allow me a moment. About 1.3 gigawatts is from KPI and the balance is from other entities.
Okay, so is there any new orders we received during this quarter or last quarter?
So as we spoke earlier as well, that there are lots of orders in the pipeline, and as already announced by our Honorable CMD, we are expecting an order inflow by quarter two, and that is what we are looking at.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you, ma'am. All the best.
Thank you so much, Lakina. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shikha Mehta from Time and Tide Advisors. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. I just had a few questions. So I understand we said that we're expecting order booking to happen from September. But what is our bid pipeline currently in, what's and in value terms?
Okay, so as I told you that roughly we have a 3 gigawatt ka bid pipeline. We keep on, looking for opportunities and, avenues which are open. As Dr. Das already pointed out, that the market is super booming. And as you already know, that the project typically is a capital intensive project even for our clients. And that is the reason why this normal gestation period of converting the bid pipeline into order book is what normally takes time. So I think Dr. Das would elaborate more on what is our order bid pipeline.
See, now this whatever the tendering process are happening today, mostly in the solar base and all conditions and pan India, it is coming in a gigawatt scale bidding. And we have targeted in the under participation of the bid, it will take its own, pre-bid meeting and process and all. So we have already targeted to that kind of things, and I have already told that guidance that we are targeting for, participating the bid in for the future projects.
Understood. And, I understand that we have a very scarce competition. Most of them are smaller regional players. But if you could name someone who is our closest competitor, it would be really helpful.
Now, competitors, you see, there are so many competitors today. If you see that, so there are so many competitors there.
But I understand what sets us apart is the scale and the execution capability that we have, right? And if you could just help me understand a bit.
Yeah, so from the execution capability, we have a 3-decade experience. We have almost more than 500 windmill across. So if you see, very few players, we are one of the players who has capability of solar as well as wind. So solar and wind, if you look at other players like Sterling Wilson only has a solar, or if you look at Suzlon, they only have wind. So we are a hybrid player also along with, wind. So that's the reason, if you look at apple to apple comparison, you'll find very rarely any competitor. But at the largest scale, there will be two individual segment or something like only wind, only solar. There will be a lot of competitors. That's what Dr. Loka was.
No, I just to add it here. Basically, what happened now today, if the market today, maximum people are in the OEM kind of nature. So they the supply of the equipment and BOP expertise is very scarce today in India. So wherever KP is coming, we have got the expertise for the balance of plant development and execution of the project. In that consideration and parameters, we stand very, very remarkable position in India.
Also, Shikha, I would like to add one more thing is that if you would go through a presentation and see the business model, you will find that right from the WRA, that is the wind resource analysis, right from the conceptualization of a wind farm, come until the grid connectivity and the infrastructure whereby the power eventually gets energized and evacuated, the entire set of activities under one EPC contractor is something which is not very easily found. So while you will have people who will come and say, oh, we have connectivity or we can find the land parcels, but execution, you need to get it done through somebody else, then that becomes a challenge. Whereas for us, we also have two large cranes within our group entity, and that is where we have ease of operations where we need to speak about the logistics. So, and recently, if you go through, you know, I mean, even overall, it has been recognized that the EPC players, you know, they are very scarce, and that is the reason why the wind energy projects have slowed down in terms of economy as a whole, whereas in terms of we stand in a very beneficial position.
Understood. And lastly, if you could just help me understand, we spoke about, you know, improving our margins as ICP portion increases on the EBITDA front. But what kind of impact would that have for PAT? Wouldn't that be more or less in a similar range? Or do we see that improving as well once, you know, the AI depreciation and et cetera is aligned?
I think more or less our PAT margins have been consistent if you must have gone through our previous results. And as I told before as well, that this is the typical nature of an EPC business, whereby we really end up, you know, taking up a larger time frame contract, and that is how the margins are. So we do try, and we have been optimizing our costs, and you know, I would say we are getting more focused on effective execution. But as the volume grows, in absolute numbers, we definitely have better margins.
Even at the PAT level?
Yes.
All right. That was all from my side. Thank you and congratulations again on great execution and great set of numbers.
Thank you, Shikha.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshil Pandya from Fin Interest Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, Darshil, you are audible.
Good evening, thank you. My first question would be with regards to the debt that we have on the books. So I understand that, you know, with the kind of scaling up we are doing in the revenues, we need to take, you know, the debt levels are rising. But what are we doing to, you know, keep it under check and, you know, to understand how things will be going forward?
So the primary reason for the debt, Darshil, is the IPP project that we have taken up, and that is where the long-term debt arises from. So well, as I told before as well, that we are planning for another 50 megawatt to reach our target of company target of 100 megawatt of IPP, but we want to phase it out and do it in a planned manner so that we do not really load our balance sheet with the debt, as this being a capital-intensive project.
Got you. And the 252 crores of, you know, six assets that we see the jump, it's all of IPP?
Could you repeat your question again?
This is in regards to the six assets that, you know, we have seen a jump from roughly 170 odd crores.
Yes, it is. We recently, as I told, that in the last quarter, we had the energization of a 30 megawatt wind plant. Which actual capacity energizes 28.7. So the fixed asset jump is purely because of that.
Okay. And just to understand, madam, how does the calculation work in this, you know, what have we invested and what kind of revenues are we anticipating from this specific portfolio?
Okay. So as I said about the IPP projects, it's a combination of both wind and solar. And it's also a combination of the PPAs with government entity and non-government entity. So while we do have the generation on the cyclical seasonal factors are definitely there in that, but then for us it becomes balanced because a part is solar and a part is wind. So typically in monsoon season when solar is slightly down, we also have better generation in wind, that being the season of wind. So it kind of balances for us. And on an average, depending upon the buyer, I mean the PPA company with whom we signed the PPA, more or less we have good margins in terms of the IPP segment.
All right, understood. The final question would be on the EBITDA margins. I heard you saying about, you know, how we'll see an increase through the IPP segment. But overall, since we did around 22% for this quarter, can we maintain this 21-22% for the rest of the year, or see some more jump or some downwards? You need to understand your
opinion. We are consistently focused on the cost control and also the operating efficiencies, and we look forward to maintaining more or less the same margins.
All right. Thank you so much, and all the best to the whole team. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Darshil. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
The next question is from the line of Akhilesh Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Shabana. One small query regarding this quarter's PAT figures. We have grown EBITDA by 63%, revenue by 73%, but PAT has grown only 40%, majorly because of our 93% rise in interest cost and depreciation. Are we going to have that kind of a trend in this quarter as well?
So with the increase in the turnover and the expected turnover, it is very obvious that we will have an increased tax impact as well. So yes, more or less, it will follow the same path. And also that we've got the asset capitalized in the last quarter of the previous year. The depreciation has also enhanced to that extent.
That IPP thing, CapEx, you are saying?
Yes.
Okay, got it. So, and this quarter also you are facing any seasonality because of the extended monsoon?
Basically, we do try to plan the execution in a way that we have a kind of a balanced operations across the year. And as I said, that there are different milestones in each contract, and we do try and plan it so that we have a balanced revenue booking. So we are making efforts to ensure that we seasonality really does not affect us much. But well, monsoon is there and it shall stay so.
Okay. And that depreciation is because this quarter we don't have anything to do additional, right? So it should remain the same.
So as I said before, that we are looking for an addition to IPP in a phased manner with the 50 megawatt yet to be executed. So there will be slight addition in the coming quarters.
Okay, got it. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you. Thank you, Akhilesh.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Well, I want to thank all the investors, shareholders, and any other people who have joined this call. As we have been continuing over the last 4 to 5 quarters, and especially since last September, since we have started the conference call, KP Energy has demonstrated a strong concurrence of results, both revenue accretive and EBITDA accretive, and we will ensure you will continue to do so. And I would like to again highlight the fact that we are one of the very few EPC companies in entirety of India that does end-to-end execution of wind projects. And we will capitalize on this fact as India's wind market goes forward and we establish a stronger domination through both our own IPP assets as well as the EPC segment that will capture through our expertise. Again, thank you all for joining the call, and that would be all from KP Energy. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Share India Securities concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect.